When last did you inconvenience yourself in order to help somebody or show sympathy to somebody in need? Hello, this is Good Word. I am David Thomas, your host. Welcome as we once again continue talking about restoration, how God is at work in the world restoring that which has been lost, and how He invites us as human beings to participate in that. This week is under the title, Jesus Showed Sympathy, and we are invited to think about sympathy, how Jesus showed it, and then to take some examples from that. And I have to make a personal confession. I feel a little guilty talking about this because just last week I was traveling on the highway, and I mean not last week, yesterday, I was traveling on the highway and found some, what shall I call, wayfaring strangers in a rest area who were looking for money, and I decided not to give them money, primarily because I didn't know what they would do with it, and I'm not sure that was a good attitude. And here when I read about sympathy, I feel like I was unsympathetic, and I think if I had the chance to do that again today, I would help them somehow or another. But anyway, having made that confession, I'm happy to welcome Daryl Bigger and Brant Berglund to the conversation again. And gentlemen, there are two verses that come in the forefront of this lesson. Matthew 14, verse 14, that says, "And when Jesus went out, he saw the great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed them." And the other one is the well-known shortest verse in all the Bible, John 11, 35. And I've often wondered when people divided up the verses of the Bible, why they made this verse. Only two words, Jesus wept. The context of that is looking at the multitude. So these two verses are enough. There are more of them, but they're enough to give us a glimpse of the fact that Jesus was a person who felt sympathy and who extended sympathy, and he was moved with compassion by the difficulties and sufferings of others so that he did something about it. In this case, he healed them. See, so I thought we could take up this subject in one of two ways, and the first one is, do either one of you have a story of how you were benefited by somebody else's sympathy? And then we should ask the question the other way around. When last did we inconvenience ourselves to show sympathy to somebody else? And you can start with whichever one of those you want.
When my family moved out here from Michigan, we had a house full of things that as you know, Dave, our call to come out here was fairly rapid after I interviewed here with you all. And we had a family, a church family out in the Michigan area that helped us get packed up on short notice because they recognized, they said, you are not going to be ready to go in time if you don't have some help. And they invited themselves to come and help, and we were glad they did.
Yeah.
Great story. That reminds me of a case in which we had some help moving as well, Brant, though it wasn't quite as in a hurry as that. At another time, we were in graduate school, scraping for every little piece of money to buy food, literally, and needed a certain amount to take care of some expenses. And an anonymous amount showed up in an unmarked envelope to that precise dollar amount. So someone was willing to act.
Now, why are you so touched by the sympathies that were shown you? I'm just curious, and I'm building a case here, so I'm a little bit like a lawyer this week. Why did those things impact you when people were sympathetic toward your need?
It was affirming of us, and it seemed kind of supernaturally directed.
Okay.
There was a sense in my experience as well that the families, especially one family in particular who helped us, were motivated by a deep personal sense of conviction that had come over them somewhat abruptly. They dropped some things they were going to do on a spur of the moment and said, we need to do this now. And again, Daryl, it seemed like it was divinely inspired.
Now, you have gone to very lofty reasons. When I asked the question, I was thinking of much more mundane ones, like it bailed you out of a predicament, right? It changed the circumstance of the reality that you were caught in that moment, right? I turn the question around then, is that if we are so willing to receive sympathy and we see its benefits, why are we so reluctant to extend it? It seems that as humans we are reluctant to be sympathetic to others.
Jesus looked at the crowds, and this perhaps is my favorite characteristic of the life of Jesus. He looked at people and he had compassion on them. That to me is maybe because I don't find myself a naturally compassionate person. I tend to be more you take what you get, what you see is what you get sort of approach to the world, and I can't just drum up compassion for people unless I feel like God is laying it on my heart. And Jesus, though, naturally saw people in their need, but he also, I think, saw through what was on the outside to what they truly needed, and his compassion moved him to give them what they truly needed most.
Mm. We talked a few weeks ago about how Jesus healed people, yep, and would go through villages and everybody would be well and celebrating. The John 11 text that you referred to, Jesus wept, comes at the tomb of Lazarus and has always intrigued me, because Jesus not only could do something to interrupt their mourning at Lazarus' death, he knew he was going to.
Yeah.
But still, he took time to cry. That just intrigues me.
And, you know, I think that the actions of calling Lazarus back to life were preconditioned by the reality of his death. Mm. I think when I read that passage, I read it not long ago, I think Jesus became angry at death and sin that caused it and said, all right, take this, Lazarus.
Yeah.
Come on out.
It is an interesting dialogue to go look at Mary and Martha and Jesus' mm-hmm. response to them both, because Martha there in John 11 is the first one who approaches Jesus. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died, suggesting that Jesus was at fault for Lazarus' death. Mm-hmm. And Jesus speaks to her theologically. Do you believe your brother will rise again? Yes, I believe he will rise at the last day. But then when he approaches Mary, Mary asks the same question. Jesus, where were you? Why did you not come and help my brother? In fact, the wording in the Greek is exactly the same with both of these sisters. The exact same question they ask, but Jesus approaches Martha with a theological answer, and with Mary, he accompanies her to the tomb, and they weep together.
Yeah.
And that tells me that Jesus gave each sister what they needed most in their moment of grieving, and that was, for me, that was a powerful picture of Jesus' compassion.
So if you were making a list of people who could benefit from sympathy, how long would it be? And I'm not just talking about theoretical problems, I'm thinking about even people you know. That you and I know, do you know people in your circle of knowledge who could benefit from sympathy?
And for me, Jesus' example here illustrates that he's not only able to deal with people emotionally, but he's able to deal with people who need sympathy intellectually as well.
Yeah. The word sympathize.
Unanswered questions.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Troublesome.
The word sympathy is interesting. It means to come alongside somebody with a frame of mind that is, I wanted to say pathetic, but I mean that in its original sense. It's full of pathos.
Pathos and suffering with them.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That you enter into the experience, see. Mm-hmm. And that's why I mentioned that the question of inconvenience, you know, to be helpful and kind and sympathetic is almost always an inconvenience.
Well, and sympathy, if all it is an emotion, I don't think it goes very far in our world. It has to be tied with doing something. And even if that something is, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, is listening, it can be listening, but also entering into someone else's experience means there's less of me involved and more of that other person.
Yeah.
And that's difficult for me.
You know, I find that being sympathetic in some ways is easy for me, but in other ways it's hard, because it asks me to give up what I'm doing, whether it be externally or internally. Mm. Like if you come to talk to me and I need to show sympathy, I have to quit what I'm doing in my own mind to figure out what's going on in your mind. Mm. And that little transaction is always a challenge for me. And I was reminded as I looked at this lesson that one of the ways we react to the need for an obvious place for sympathy is that we tend to gloss over the other person's predicament, and we pretend like it's not that substantial. It doesn't warrant my attention. See?
And in conversations, it's interesting that the conversation pattern with men tends to be a competitive pattern. So if you tell me about your problem, I want to tell you about one of my problems, which is greater than your problem. And Jesus
Darryl,
does
you're dinging the men now. Come on.
Yeah. And Jesus does just the opposite of that. He enters their problem instead of presenting his own.
Yeah.
So here at Lazarus' tomb, he's anticipating the final week of his life and his death, but he enters that family's issue.
Yeah.
And the mourners as well who are there. And
yeah.
Yeah, that was a quotation I read when I was looking on this lesson from General William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army. It is said that when a person came along who was interested in helping him with what he was doing, he would respond to them, "If you cannot cry over the city, then we have no use for you. We cannot use you." Wow.
I know that one of our faculty members here has his students occasionally live for several hours like a homeless person in order to enter their life, to understand what that would be like. That's the living example of Jesus.
Yeah, and actually many stories of great frustration come out of that, how difficult it was and annoying. They had to sleep out in the cold, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
A kind of a strange question for you here quickly as we come to an end here. What do you think about I pay taxes, and therefore that's a sympathetic act because a lot of that goes for social programs?
There are all kinds of ways in which we are robbed from those easy paths of sympathy. I passed a stranded vehicle yesterday on the freeway, but they were standing there with a cell phone. So I said, oh, well, they got that problem taken care of. So this is not an occasion for me to be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to look for ways to be empathetic, don't we?
But for why should I feed the hungry? There's government programs that do that. There's government programs that clothe, you know. And I wonder, you know, if we as Christians are invited into the process of restoration, we need more than just that I paid my taxes. There needs to be some personal investment, some time spent in the struggles of other people. I think actually showing sympathy.
I've wondered about this. Is that part of the role of Christians is to enter into the political debate to get more social programs? Is that the role of the church? For some, I know that is. And I see Jesus doing it far less through political means and far more through personal effort.
And here in the last seconds, you can't answer this because we don't have time, but I throw this out to you. What about, I'll pray for you? I've often wondered if that's a sincere statement by people, if it's merely a way to dismiss you. I'll pray for you. You know, how many of us actually pray for the people we say that to? So. Anyway, gentlemen, thank you. We leave ourselves challenged again that the question of showing sympathy is one that has to be worked on every day, and Jesus provides us a great example. But my thanks to you for your conversation here today. My thanks to David Olson, our engineer. And my thanks to those of you who listen faithfully and perhaps even occasionally for the good word. I'm David Thomas.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.